How about that? A big hand for Lucas. Just fresh in here. We got the whole station falling apart, and he's running around in studio to studio, finding a way to give you the news. That's the guy.
You know, it's always nice, Brian, when, you know, yesterday I mentioned on the air we had some technical issues, and we see the first sign of what I saw yesterday, and I go, this isn't going to be good.
You're looking good today, Joe. Well,
thank you. It's the glasses.
It's the glasses. Yeah. I say that every time you're wearing glasses, and you got, like, hair swooshed to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, you look like a serious person.
Well, looks can be deceiving.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good, Brian. I did a 7-mile walk. Now I'm hoping to turn that into a decent 4-mile run. If you run on Thursday, I will run. This is that's how I'm.
Like I said, I want to do the Canal Fest run. I probably will. I should. It's, you know, like right down the road from where I live. It's 4 miles, shouldn't be that tough. My only thing is if between then and now I injure myself again, which is a real possibility, because my ankle still isn't fully healed, and it's not like I'm resting it.
Yeah,
no, or anything.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
If that doesn't happen, then you know I'll be taking part in the Canal Fest run. If not, then you know,
50-yard finish.
Yeah, well, you know, you can run. And I'll cheer you on.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't run in a while, but like I said, I did a little jog. Felt good. I have to say, the Michael Burham thing, you know, we talked so much about that in the last few weeks, Brian.
Oh, I loved all the updates on Saturday.
But here's the thing. Like, we talked about where he could be. I never imagined he would still be wearing the stuff he was wearing when he broke out of prison. This guy was not as well.
Did you think he went to Penny's?
Well, they said they found a stockpile of stuff. I thought he had found... you know, I watched that. I almost got away with it a lot on ID. And most of the time, they're wearing something else. Either they stole it, or they found it, or someone helped them out. If there was a bingo card or a bet, I would not have bet he would still be in the prison clothes.
Yeah, if there's one thing that gives you away as an escaped prisoner, it's wearing a full head-to-toe prison uniform.
You don't think...
So you might want to ditch that.
Inside Out doesn't deter people.
It did not work. Just everything about it was so... I mean, he's been missing for over a week. I mean, that is a long time to be... It doesn't seem like a long time, like you've heard of people, you know, months or years, right? Like, out on the lam, like they can't find him. But, like, generally speaking, like somebody escapes from prison, like you're captured in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Or, like, you would expect somebody to be apprehended relatively quickly. He was out for a week. He was out for a while. And you know, now that you hear how he was apprehended, it doesn't exactly sound like he would have lasted a long time. I just, you would never expect him to be near somebody's backyard. You would want to be far away from, you know, the people who are on the lookout for you.
Like you said, along an interstate like the 90 is exactly where I thought he would be, in that wooded area along an interstate.
Walking, following the 90, trying to get somewhere else, out of town. The whole thing was just one. The dog barking, leading them to here. You know, if it was me, I'd just be yelling out the back door, get back in, what are you barking for? You know, I wouldn't have followed.
Your dog would have jumped the fences. Your dog would have had him.
Yeah, would have grabbed him by the ankle. But, you know, going out there, hey, what are you doing back here? Camping. Okay. Like, you know, in my backyard, in khakis, like, is this the camping outfit? Is prison gear? Where are those numbers on your shirt? Are those the campsite numbers you have to wear every time you're around here? Is this some new development I've never heard of? I don't think so, buddy.
It seemed like he had a great idea with the bed sheets and then blanked. But you know what, Brian?
Step two was just open-ended.
To be fair, I probably would think, well, if I figured this out, step two can't be that difficult. Well, good thing
you did the hard part.
Yeah.
The actual escape would be the hard part.
It's after that, you know, you got to put something together. But, you know, the good news is he is in custody in Erie County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. That's like, it is a very important distinction to make, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is so close, but it is in other Erie counties, in Erie County Correctional Facility, just not here.
It's funny, when you guys were playing the national raps this morning, they don't distinguish that.
Yeah, you have to make sure everyone knows it is Erie County, Pennsylvania. So Burham captured, a week on the run.
There's that story.
No more. Yeah, it's all wrapped up. I mean, there will be more that comes out about the escape, right? Who helped him?
Yeah, the drone, but they say that might not be associated now.
A lot of things I am interested in if it's spelled out at some point this week, which would be pretty cool to see. Not so cool to see, Joe, this story in the news over the weekend that I really had no idea. It's one of these things where you ever hear about something going away, and it's something that you have not thought about in a long time. It's something you haven't used in a long time, but you feel a little sad that it's going away. Like, you just like knowing it was there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, stores closing might be some of this for some people.
Circuit City. I think the reason it went out was because not many people were going, but when it closed, I liked that being there.
Yeah, I liked the option.
Yeah.
Right, to have Circuit City. They're like, I remember buying such and such there at Circuit City. It stinks that it's going away. Stuff like that happens a lot. Happened to me over the weekend with this. San Francisco's Anchor Brewing Company going away, filing for bankruptcy, and they're just not going to be able to keep making beer. Anchor writing that the impacts of the pandemic, inflation, especially in San Francisco, and a highly competitive market left the company with no option but to make the sad decision to cease operations.
That's sad.
Anchor Brewing, you would probably know the look of it more than the name. They make Anchor, or made at this point, Anchor Steam Beer, which, if you can picture it, in the little more stubby bottles, it was a different shaped bottle, copper colored beer. It was one of the only quote unquote craft beers that you could get readily available at, not all, I wouldn't even say most, but some bars, for a long, long period of time.
Throughout the country?
Yeah. Okay. It was, it was here. I don't think you could get it on, maybe you could get it on tap at some place, but those bottles made their way over here to Western New York, and for a long time at bars, if you didn't want, something normal, there were a few things. You had all your typical taps. Then there was Sam Adams, right? You could have a Guinness. You could have Anchor Steam Beer. Maybe some places had Newcastle, which you don't really see anymore. And then, Sierra Nevada, Pale Ale. That might be like the IPA that was on tap recently. But like, that was it. Now, Anchor Steam Beer kind of kept the whole craft beer thing going. It kept it alive. It was like the alternative option. And now you have this industry where there's a million of them.
There's one in every corner.
And the thing that Anchor Brewing kept alive is what killed it.
Isn't that amazing?
They kept alive like this craft beer thing, like kept that steady momentum in the back, like was the extra option, like the alternative option in most places or supermarkets where you would go to buy beer. And now you fast forward, it's a transformation, really only took 10 to 15 years. I mean, 10 years ago, it was still, I remember going into bars, it was there available as one of the craft options. 10 years later, flooded with different options, and it can't survive the competition it created.
Yeah, it created the demand for a beer that now a lot of places either perfected or, Brian, there is something about people want that local beer and to support that local brewery, and it kind of fell.
It's a little heartwarming. Like, that's America, right? Like, that you create innovation and more people come in on it, and like, you know, old ideas and old things kind of seed way to whatever's new. And there will be like some sort of new version, maybe. I don't know. Like, I guess Sam Adams like gone bigger than that. Sierra Nevada is still making beer. They make all sorts of different beer right now.
Yeah, I'll see them go.
You can't really see the Pale Ale out there as much as like all the other beers. But like now you walk into any bar, and more so than wonder if they have an IPA on tap, you might have to wonder like, oh, do they have Labatt here?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, that happened to me on Saturday. I went to a bar, and all they had were very nice craft beers, but I was in the mood for something that went down a little easier, so I had to have that in a can.
And that's the harder thing to find. Yeah. Less and less. You will not have that on tap, and you'll have everything else.
And that really has, in the last decade, switched.
It's kind of crazy how that's gone.
Anchor is the Sears of craft beer. They created an industry, and the other competition ran them out.
They are kind of like that. I mean, they were around in the 70s, and you know, they withstood all the stuff.
I never had an Anchor beer, by the way. I know you won't find that surprising, but I never had an Anchor beer.
You've never had one?
No. The box does look familiar. Like, I've seen it somewhere.
Would probably be able. Oh, you've seen it. You've definitely 100% seen it before.
Yeah.
I mean, bars and places like all over the place. They made They made a Christmas beer that would come out every single year, too, in a big bottle. That was really—I mean, those are the only two beers I really knew them for. But it, you know, it's a nice beer. It's what you know, like the Sam Adams, a normal Sam Adams beer, like some of these other, you know, first craft beers before everything started to be hop and fruit and, you know, like all this crazy stuff. It was
a craft beer that goes down easier.
Yes, it was more of a moderate taste. It was like a more flavorful version of the typical lager that you're used to drinking, which I appreciate. I liked it. Back when they were, you know, up and running, when they were saved from bankruptcy in 1965, there were 163 breweries in the country. By the early 1980s, there were fewer than 100. Today, over 9,000.
Wow.
So to give you an idea of the competition that it faces now. But I'm wondering if there are things like that out there that, you know, it just, I saw the label, it brings back some memories, and I want to know what you miss. Like, what has fallen by the wayside that used to be out there? Now, I'm thinking beer right now. I guess it could be anything else. You know, you mentioned Circuit City. It could be anything else. But 803-0930, I mean, what used to be at the bar that isn't there anymore, that you miss? Like some of these old beer brands that were huge and now just don't even exist anymore. Anchor is going to be there. In the New York Times, they wrote a story about it, and they said that these mid-level breweries are the ones most at risk, that grow large enough to have a somewhat national footprint, but they're smaller than the bigger breweries. They're kind of like in the middle. They say they're particularly vulnerable right now because they face the pressure from the larger breweries, but they're losing market share to the local side too, because what you have is the smaller breweries come in, attract new customers, and take, you know, the neighborhood, so to speak, right? Like, you see that happening in more and more places where a little place opens, and if you're going to go out for a drink, maybe you're going to a smaller craft brewery, and that brewery is not going to be big or anything, but it's big enough for the town. And if half the town stops drinking Anchor beer at the bar, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. And I think in a different way, Brian, I don't know if you can tell me if you agree or not. We saw Thin Man, right, last week close their Elmwood location. And that, in my opinion, is kind of like, well, they started selling their beer, right? And people still buying Thin Man beer, but maybe not going out for that beer taste. Maybe buying that, bringing it home, and not frequenting the bar as much. Maybe they ran themselves out by selling their beer in stores.
I wonder how it works. Like, how do you take in all these new beers? 803-0930. There just seems too many to be able to survive. But I said that 10 years ago. Obviously, I was wrong. When there were half as many breweries around Western New York, I was saying there's just too many. I was wrong about that. Like, there's more, and they all seem to be doing pretty well. Yeah,
you're seeing more and more beers on the shelf. I mean,
they're busy.
Wegmans got rid of the bulk candy to put beer.
Bulk beer.
Yeah. Exactly.
The bulk gummy worms are gone. Now it's grab your own six pack.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, what exactly happened there, and what beer brand do you miss? I hear about this, you know, quite frequently, because when I go out and around, I will search for what people have that you can't find a lot locally. Or I'll just buy beer, because we've talked about this before. Like, there is a certain... people have their favorites. I think a lot of their favorites are... more so just due to like some weird brand loyalty than it is about actual taste. Because for the most part, beer to beer, like your normal lager beer from Budweiser to Coors to Miller to you name it, tastes pretty much the same. Like you'd be hard pressed to find most people being able to do a blind taste test and tell you what's what.
I could tell the difference if you put Budweiser, Miller Lite, and PBR, I could taste the difference. But Miller and Coors, I mean, they're brewed at the same place. I couldn't tell you the difference. They taste the exact same.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, like, you put a Labatt in front of my nose, I can tell you that it's Labatt, just because, like, that scent has stained the bingo halls of churches, like, across the area, right? Like, for my entire life, and I know it.
Budweiser's a rice-based beer, right? A little different of a taste.
It is a little different, but if you put that in front of 90% of people, would not be able to tell the difference.
Maybe. I will start off with a brand that used to be around just because it is the brand that brought the Beamer family to Buffalo, New York, and that is Schmidt's Brewery, Schmidt's Beer. My dad worked for Schmidt. That's why we came up to Buffalo. Not around anymore. Right? It was super popular back in the day, and it's one of those beers that, you know, you can't, like Old Milwaukee, you can still find Old Milwaukee every now and then. Schmidt's beer, you can't find.
A couple that are in my fridge right now. One is, and you can find this in places now, they started making them, Saranac, I believe, makes it, but they're owned by somebody else. I get it, like, there's a whole tree of who owns who and, you know, produces what. Utica Club beer. Thought of as like an older thing. Now you can find it in more and more places. You can certainly find it at the store, and you can find it in a couple bars too. They'll carry cans of Utica Club, which is seen as like a thing from the past. But it's here and around, and I'll, out of novelty, stock that in my fridge in the attic because, again, you want a beer? What are you going to turn down it because it's not a Labatt or something like that? It's all pretty much the same. Here's the Utica Club.
But people love those novelty beers.
Yes.
We talked about...
Me too.
We talked about Wegmans. I mean, most gas stations now have a walk-in cooler. That wasn't the case 10, 15 years ago.
No. They have walk-in coolers in Pennsylvania where they weren't even selling gas selling beer at gas stations like 2 years ago.
That's true.
And then speaking of which, I was down in Pittsburgh not too long ago and I bought a case of Old German. German lager. Which, when my father-in-law came over to the house, he goes, Old German? Like, what? We used to drink these all the time. They stunk. Like, give me one of those. You know? Like, it was one of those things. But it's just, all right, here's something I never see over here. I guess because it's brewed in Pittsburgh. I don't know who makes it. It's probably only distributed there. But it's an old brand. Bring it back up and give it to people. And, you know, hey, it's something a little bit different.
Brian's bringing up the nice old brands. Here's, you know, when I think of a beer that went out of style with my college going out of business in a month. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, ooh, let me get a beer that I drank in college. Keystone Ice is no longer made. So I cannot have that beer I had in college.
There's a reason. Is there a reason for that? I don't know. Like, the way that we would talk about, like, Keystone was that beer when we were in high school and college.
You still get Keystone Light good.
That was cheap, easy to find. Like, it was at every single party you were at between ages, what, 16 and 23.
Yeah.
So for a decade, it dominated. The way we look at Keystone is the way I hear a generation before us talk about cream ales.
Right, yeah.
In the same way where, so and I'm against this on cream ales. Cream ale, you know me, I love cream ale. I will go and buy it, seek it out. I think it's a great beer. People look at me drinking that and go, oh, what are you doing that for? We used to drink those and puke after, right? Like, that's the only story you hear from the cream ale is that from a generation older than us.
So will Keystone, you know, because Keystone and Keystone Light still
Keystone,
being made.
Someone is going to drink that, like, our kids' age someday, and I'm going to look at that and go, ugh, that's stuff I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
We used to have Keystone Ice and Keystone Light. The light is still around. The ice is gone. And when you talk about a beer that's gone, with my college going out, I wanted to do a, I guess it's just going to be a 12-pack of Keystone, which is fine, Keystone Light. But, yeah, Brian, you know, PBR, Jenny Cream Ale, they're in bars now. You can go and order those. Maybe Keystone in a few years will be that novelty beer people order at the bar.
It might. What's gone by that you miss, whether it's at the tap or just around town? Anchor Brewing is... No more. I found out this week. It's one of those. I've never thought to order one. I'm part of the problem. I've never thought to order one in the last decade. So am I shocked it's going out of business? No, not really. But I am sad to see it go. What about you? 803-0930, B-Mans and Beamer on WBEN. We're back here, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Was just talking about Anchor Steam Beer no longer because, well, I mean, it's probably been no longer for a while. I really have not seen it at a bar, but it used to be one of the only, you know, non-traditional beers, so to speak, quote-unquote craft beers that you could get at a bar. And Anchor Brewing going bankrupt. They just can't compete with a million different options that are out there. I still can't quite wrap my head around it, Joe.
All, like, the beers?
How they all survive. Like, how they all make it happen.
When you go to a bar, do you have the beer you know as soon as you walk in?
No.
See, I think that's how they survive. Like me, I go to a bar. If they have blank on tap, that's what I'm getting.
Well,
does that make sense?
I should say it depends on where you go.
Right.
I mean, there's some places I walk into, I know exactly what I'm getting. But like most times, if you sit down for a restaurant, if I'm having a beer or you go into a lot of bars, I take a look-see to see what's going on before I'm ordering.
I'm very, you know that. I'm very boring with my beer. I know if they have this or this, there we go. That's what I'm getting. But I think it's because a lot of people are open to, oh, this sounds good. You know, they put the description of the beer on there. I think that might be how these, you know, places are surviving. Plus, a lot of these breweries are linked up to a tap room, to a bar, you know, so they're bringing in income that way as well.
There's so many of those different beers. Well, like when I look and go to a place and it has, you know, however many hundred taps or, you know, some of these bars that are out there that have like a million different options for you. My first thought is like, there's no way that this is fresh. Right, because like you order like one or two of these beers, no one's ordering,
right?
And they've had here for a while. Like, that has to be the case.
That's why you like to look at the seasonal taps, because you know those have been
rotating around a little bit.
But I think another thing is people like to support local. We're seeing that with 716. People like to support local, and all these breweries are local.
So that's definitely a thing. When something is fresh, it's just better. Whether it actually tastes better or it's just perceived better, it is. Like, people want fresh. People like local, supporting local. You get to meet the people who work there, who, like, make it happen, who make what you're drinking. Like, that's a big part of it, too. I'm just shocked that so many of them are able to survive the way they have. Now, not all of them are the same, right? Like, not all of them are created equal. Like, you have a couple of local breweries that are larger than others that are putting beers out in stores faster and like at a different rate and kind of doing that thing. You have some that are solely focused on the, you know, supplying the bar that they're in and making that, you know, a huge deal. And you have others that I would classify as like a neighborhood brewery where, you know, their beer really never leaves the bar that they're at. There's one right by me. We're talking about Canal Fest down right across from the Riviera Theater. Prosper Brewing. Tiny little place. And I go, like, this is the kind of place that I would think would do well because it's small. It's like a neighborhood bar. They make their own beer, but they're...
It's for the bar.
They're here. Yeah, it's for the bar. Like, they kind of know what they are. And I look at a lot of places, and they're trying to make beer and put it in stores and can it and do... I'm always thinking, how do we sustain this? This is crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Pearl Street only makes beer for their the bars owned there, right? Pearl
they make
Street,
a lot of it.
Riverworks and Lafayette.
Yeah, and they make a lot of it.
Yeah.
And they move a lot of it there, too. And that's one where you walk in, I kind of know what I'm having because I only can get it there.
Right.
At one of those three places. And I really like it. The train wreck ale that they've made for it's my entire popular. Life,
yeah.
Probably, right? That's there.
It's what they also make their fish fries in, right?
Is it?
I think. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
I think they make them in oil.
No, but they have they're a beer battered in. Yeah, yeah. No. They've replaced the oil with beer. It's
they
amazing.
Just soak it for a while. But you can wait. Like, what are those brands? The Anchor's gone. Like, what's gone from the shelves, from the tap? From the plaza that you kind of miss.
And, you know, you bring that up, that place that you stopped going to, but when the now closing sign is on it, you're like, oh, yeah, I really liked that place. You know, you haven't been there in a few years. And I think we're seeing two of those stores going out of business now, Brian. Obviously, one I used to work at, Bed Bath & Beyond. But Christmas Tree Shop. I have seen mm-hmm. so many posts on social media. Oh, how is Christmas Tree Shop closing? Well, when's the last time you went there? But it's one of those things where now people are like, oh, I'm going to miss that store, you know? But you probably haven't been since before the pandemic.
Yeah. I have you fallen out of that? Oh, I certainly have. I'll raise my hand and say I have. And part of that is just lifestyle change, two kids. Like, you change the way you operate a little bit. But another part of it, it just has fallen to the back of the mind. March, April of 2020. There was a huge push to support local businesses, local restaurants, yep. and try to order out as much as possible and do those kinds of things. And that is definitely, or support local anything, right? Not just restaurants. I think that's definitely fallen back a little bit where you do that less and less. And I can say, you know, hand up, I think less about local than I did 3 years ago. Now, there's a few different reasons for that. One is, you know, it falls in the back of your head. It's not like this urgent, you know, hey, order takeout from here or it might close because they're not allowed to open per government order, right?
It's not there anymore.
Like, that part isn't there. Like, the urgency factor isn't there. But also, you know, prices have gone way up. You're eating out less, period. You know, you're making those decisions much more seldom. And I don't. It kind of like falls to the back of your mind, kind of that idea of, oh, I got to support this one local business or beer or whatever it is.
Well, I think the main reason it's fallen to the back of your mind is because, well, for the last 2 years more, we've been living normal, right? So you have that, well, the pandemic's over. They're open. They're able to have business as usual. Now I'm back to what's best for my wallet. You know what I mean? I think with the inflation we've seen go up
it's
and
come
down.
Back. Yeah.
And the problem is there are these places that really have never recovered. But again, it's difficult for you to go back to that 2020 mindset, Brian, when we've been living our lives as normal for over 2 years.
And in 2020, you could probably afford to eat out a couple of times a week.
You're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything. Prices were lowered.
Yeah.
People were trying to get rid of stuff and, you know, use. You weren't doing anything else. You weren't spending money on tickets to go anywhere.
You were getting paid by the government?
Yeah. You just got like random money in your bank account. It was more affordable to be able to do that. But now, like you said, I think you go back to the prior line of thinking where you're thinking with your wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
Much more so.
I love supporting local business, but you can't blame people for trying to do what's best for them and their family.
There's absolutely places where it's like, yes, I love that place. I love going there. When's the last time you've been?
Yeah.
6 months ago, like a year ago, maybe, because I just, what am I going to do? You know, support everyone I love. I would love to, but I didn't win the jackpot over the weekend.
No, I
did not win the Powerball, unfortunately.
I've got two more tickets. Hopefully tonight.
Didn't even win the second prize.
No.
If I did that, I would be there in like an instant. But anyways, all right. So on the text board, we have a couple of, ones from a forgotten era. Someone mentioned when we're talking about Anchor Brewing, their Liberty Ale, and I do remember that label now. Like, those ones stick out to me. You put an American flag or red, white, and blue on anything.
Oh, yeah.
Catches the eye. Decent chance I'm going to buy it. right? Like there's that goes for beer, that goes for really just about anything. A bag of chips. There's, I don't know what brand it is, but every football season they'll have a bag of chips. You know, it's just the bag of chips, but it'll have the Bills logo on it.
Oh, yeah, I'm stocking up.
Oh, I'm getting the Bills chips.
Exactly.
I mean, the Bills chips just taste better on game day.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff.
You put the Bills, Labatt Blue does it with the Sabres, the Sabre cans. Yeah, I'm buying those. October, those are in the fridge.
Someone else saying, I'm an ultra-light beer drinker, less carbs, calories, but I would rather support local beer than buy something national.
That's there's not even financial. That's another thing. A lot more people are trying to be more health conscious. What's the lower calories? Need that local brewery to make that low calorie beer.
But like, is that, doesn't that add to your shock that there's so many breweries able to do business in Western New York? If I am to believe, and I do doubt this, but I'm told all the time that people are more health conscious now.
Yeah,
I don't believe it based on, you know, what I see out there.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, yeah. People are more health conscious. Like, I don't know, like another Five Guys just like popped up. Are they really?
Yeah.
Like another brewery is popped up. Like if people were more health conscious, how can we support, 100 local breweries?
That's true.
We probably wouldn't be able to.
That's true. I mean, like I said, I think it's people don't have that go-to beer like they did in the old days, and you have tap rooms connected to these breweries. I think that's a large change in the beer game. But they're not all good. I mean, I hate to be Mr. Negative, but you said there's 9,000 breweries now in America. I mean, in 10 years, that won't be the same number. I just don't see it, even with all the stuff going in, sustainable.
But I said the same thing 10 years ago. Like, they keep proving me wrong. Like, I don't want to say it again because I have been saying it, and it's wrong.
Well, this would be a good continuation of the show, would be get someone from one of the local breweries. How do you do it?
How answer is working? Going to be
different per brewery?
Different for every single one. You have people who are just doing killer business exporting their beer. And exporting is the bad word, but like putting it out into stores, getting a larger footprint. A Big Ditch is one now you can get all the way in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, that started in someone's garage, but then started out of a, you know, where they are on Huron Street. They didn't have a tap room or anything or a restaurant or, you know, spaces to hold events. They just had a little place where they made beer and you can go and buy to get a growler full. Now they're distributing cans out to Rochester and all over the place.
Probably the most popular local brewery, would you say?
Yeah.
Probably. So. Yeah.
But you say that with because there's other big ones too.
Other good ones as well, yeah.
Community Beer Works, they were in a little garage right off of Niagara Street. Now they have this big spot. They're in stores all over the place.
It's amazing.
It is wild to see. And then again, you have the others who just kind of stick in the bar. Like the people do their own thing. It's crazy to me to see like so many local breweries. You go to the local section or like the New York State section, which it's wild that that's even a section, but it's a whole row. Like there's as many generic cereals as there are New York State beer. Like it takes up the same amount of real estate inside of a supermarket.
There used to be a place across the street that had, I don't know how many taps, Brian. It was in the 50s, right? 50, 60 taps. I mean, that place was huge across the street. And you wouldn't be able to fit all the New York State brands in that if that place was still open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's how many breweries there are.
I don't know.
For some reason, the number 86, there's no way there were 86 taps. But there were a lot of taps at the bar that used to be across the street. And even that's not enough for all of the beers here in Buffalo and New York.
Do people not have their go-to brand anymore? Like that, I feel like that used to be a thing a couple of generations ago, right? Like another thing where this person drank this beer. Like if you were throwing a family party and you had like, Uncle Terry's coming over, we have to have Molson in the cooler because that's what he drinks.
Yeah, I don't think our generation is like, I feel in the minority. Like I said, I go to a bar. Do you have this? No? All right, I'll take a look at the beer list. But anyone else I go out with, it's always, can I get the beer list? Can I see the beers? I'll have this. Oh, you don't have that? Here's my second choice.
But you don't need to drink that. Like that's the.
I don't need to, but if they have it, that's what I'm drinking.
You have a first choice,
and I'm not looking at anything else. I think a majority of people aren't like that, and that's why. Oh, I'll have this time. Mm-hmm. Oh, next round I'll have that. You're mixing beers while I just have a stack of the same can.
But you're about as that's as far as brand loyalty goes right now. Like that, you are as close to a brand loyalist as I think you get in this day and age.
And here's the thing: I'll have my brand, but if I'm at Tully's after 9 o'clock and the Tully's brand is half off, I'll get the Tully's light.
Where I think there like people generations before us. I'm drinking this and nothing else.
Right. Oh, you don't have this? I'm going to another bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just pour the tap water.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, there's just nothing else, which is very funny to me. Again, like, going back to the, it all kind of tastes generally the same.
It is, I mean, I could never imagine, oh, you don't have this? I'm leaving the bar.
Yeah.
But I think you're also talking about a generation ago.
No Coke, Pepsi. I'm out of here.
But a generation ago, it was all brand, right? People's cars. They would only buy one brand of cars. And I talk about my grandmother. She would only stop at one kind of gas station. Mm-hmm. Like, we've completely lost that, I think, our generation when it comes to, oh, it has to be this brand or nothing goes for me.
What is that? I mean, the car thing changes as the industry changes, where I think one is you have less people working at GM or Ford than you did before. And then another part of that has to be like the changing idea of made in America. Like, made in America means like so many things to so many different people. Like, to me, it means made in America. Like, I take the words pretty literally. So if I wanted the made in America car, I'm getting a Honda. Right? Like,
it was made in America.
If I want the quote unquote an American car, an American brand, which that's still what made in America means to a lot of people. Actually, if I want an American car, I have to get a Tesla. That's like the only one that's like 100% made in America. Isn't that strange? Like, Tesla, Volkswagen, Honda, you know, quote unquote made in America. Yeah. And then the American cars, you know, your Chevys and Fords and everything else, it's like, well,
part.
It's like 20% American. 65% Mexican, you know, like something somewhere else. And I think like that diversification and all of a sudden you're questioning your reasoning behind it kind of kills off brand loyalty when it comes to cars.
Exactly. 100%.
And then it gets based on experience. Like, if you have a car and you drove it for 200,000 miles and it was fine for 15 years, you're probably going to buy that car again, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're totally sick of it.
I have now driven a Honda for over a decade, and let me tell you, my next car will most likely be a Honda. I really enjoy the car. I enjoy the layout of the car, and you get a lot of bang for your buck. That thing goes on forever. Now, we all know my experience with PT Cruisers, so I won't be going that direction again.
Do you, I'm just keeping an eye on the text board here. Someone said they like sampling the local beers when they travel. Are you that person, or you're still just the one?
So,
do you try and get the local flavor when you're out somewhere?
Brian, as you know, it is a risk. I will try to get a flight. Let's see what this other stuff is. But you have seen me react to a beer where after one sip,
yeah,
I said, Brian, can you finish this?
Yeah, give it to me.
So, I will get a flight. Like, if there's a $15 pick four, there's a new place that opened. Another new brewery that opened down the street from me, and we went a few months ago. And yeah, I got the flight to see what I liked, and actually, all four really good beers. So yeah, I will get a flight. What's the place in Lockport?
New York Beer Project.
New York Beer Project. First time I went there, got a flight, all good beers. So yeah, I am open to trying new beers, but I'm also very lazy, and I think that's why I have a go-to. I don't think it's loyalty. I think it's
Don't want to read.
I'm lazy, and
I'm right there with you.
And I know what I like. I don't want to pay $8 for a beer I don't like. Like, I've done
I'm not
before.
A flight person anymore. I you know, I got suckered into that a couple times. I don't want to say suckered. Some people really like it. I'm just, give me a beer. I want the full thing. I'm going to taste something, give me the full one.
I'll do a beer flight. There's Josh Nichols. I'll do a wine flight. I'm all down for trying different things, getting a bunch of different tastes. But then I'll pick something from there. And if I didn't like anything in the flight, guess what? We're going back to Old Faithful.
The local flavor. I used to do that. Now I just, to me, there's like a tipping point where I've talked about this in music before. Like, all of a sudden I have every song ever available at my fingertips, and then I scale back how much music I actually listen to because there's just too much for me to pay attention to and take in. The beer's like that too. Like, you go to different places, and I used to want to sample, And now I'm just like, well, you know, I've probably had something that tastes exactly like this before. Because how have I not? Like, there's a, how is this not going to be, how is this going to be different than one of the 500 beers brewed in Buffalo just because you're 4 miles away, well, isn't or that 4 hours away?
And isn't that what you say? Oh, this is a lot like blank.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you're drinking the flight.
That's what you do. So I'm not like that anymore. Food, though, you still got to, I was just with someone from out of town. Had to have beef on weck for dinner. You know, when you come here, Salins hot dog you take back. The Weber's mustard people take back. Oh, yeah. All that kind of stuff. You still sample the local flavor.
That Buffalo flight.
I am watching the calories, but a Permanti sandwich might be in my near future.
Oh, jealous.
I'm thinking about it already. You got to sample the local flavor, what you can't get here. All right, we'll be back here tomorrow.
Yes, if everything's working.
No more manhunt to talk about for the first time in over a week.
No more manhunt. I'm sure we'll find something.
No more manhunt to talk.
That was my story. That was, you know, Murdaugh, Titan, manhunt. Now I think it's my focus. My main focus is going to go down to the guy they caught in New York, Brian, for the there was the Long Island murders. There was a documentary on that. And now the conclusion. So I'm waiting for
pizza
the
crust.
Yeah, pizza crust.
That is a wild story. We'll be back tomorrow. You got David coming up next after the news with Lucas on WBEN.